Fred, just picture this. The nights are drawing in. Coronavirus is on the up. You head round to your best mate's house on the Saturday night, ready for the lash. You get there. You ask for a vodka, lime and soda water. They give it to you. You look your mate in the eye and you say, pre-lash, 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 pre-lash. Pre-lash, 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 pre-lash. 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 Your best mate tells you he's got beer pong and he's ready to play and he can film you. You could put it on your Instagram. You look at him and you say, mate, pre-lash, 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 pre-lash. Pre-lash, 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 pre-lash. Pre-lash, pre-lash. Drinks are flowing. Beer pong has been playing. And your Insta stories are getting full. He starts bringing out the beer funnel. You're getting absolutely steamboated. By that time, you look your mate in the eye and you go, pre-lash, 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 pre-lash. Pre-lash, pre-lash. Pre-lash, 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 pre-lash. Pre-lash, pre-lash. Then you realise it's 1 a.m. and actually all the bars are closed because of coronavirus and you're just absolutely smashed. So you just have to go home. Good note is you're not that hungover the next day and you can probably go to the gym.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the RigBiz Podcast, Pre-C Ep 2. We have an incredible guest lined up for you later. My name is Freddie Clodagh, and as always, I'm joined by a rather somber-looking Mr. Archie Gerson. Archie, cheer up. What's going on?
I'm sorry, Fred, but recent news has it's got me down, mate. It's got me down.
What's that? The new legislations from Bojo?
Or? I'm disappointed. Obviously, look, I've addressed the Clapham faithful, and you know it is serious. You'll notice, you know, I've got no top lip banter because you know, Q4 is around the corner, and it is time to get serious.
Things are getting serious in the city.
Yeah, and you know, I'm feeling the pressure, mate. I'm feeling the pressure.
Well, mate,
the podcast is really going to be what gets people through this.
It's true. Christmas may be cancelled. There may be months of, you know, isolation throughout the winter.
10 p.m. Yeah. 10 p.m. The shiny pubs at 10 p.m.
It's sort of the
number 32 only gets good after 10 p.m.
So true. I mean, it's sort of the age you go to bed at prep school 10 p.m. isn't it?
I may as well get married and have kids.
Yeah. Well, we'd love that. I mean, that was the whole point of the last series, and it never happened.
So. Yeah, but thinking about it, Fred, if I go in a relationship, you know, are they going to be on my diet routine? No. They probably want to watch movies. I mean, look, I only like watching Living with the Lions or rugby-based films. Like, yeah. Have you seen the film Up and Under?
No. What's that?
Well, it's rugby league. It's a bit disappointing, but it's decent.
Okay. So you don't think you'll be able to find a lady who's into the same?
Well,
they want to watch chick flicks and
documentaries. And I've got to be honest, if there's one person that knows how to make love to me the best, it's me. I know, you know, what I like.
So you're saying that you'd rather sort of spend the night with your left or right hand rather than a beautiful lady or a future wife?
I'm just saying how it is, mate.
Well, I'm kind of lucky. I've been investing in trying to find a lady, you know, not just for this lockdown. I didn't know it was coming, but maybe now I've got someone I can spend time with. I'm surprised, even though you like spending time with your hand and whatever it may be, you can't, you know,
yeah, but
you're going to be locked out inside again.
I'm looking for an A-grade candidate.
But, mate, it's going to be different to last time. You won't be able to go into your garden and do press-ups and, you know, do kettlebells. You're going to be by yourself inside freezing.
Let's just hope they don't close the F45 gym. I mean, the rule of six. Well, that seven's out, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I was enjoying playing, so touch sevens.
Yeah.
Now that's out the window. I am looking at an option of creating a sixes tournament.
Okay.
That could accommodate the rule of six.
But then you're not allowed people outside your own social bubble, so it'd basically be 3-on-3.
That could work. That would actually work for my game.
Quite good for fitness.
Yeah, and it gives me a lot of space to goose step.
Mm-hmm.
But look, Fred, I'm not going to lie. I'm disappointed.
Well,
I'm pretty sure Infernos is not going to open this year.
Hopefully. Hey, mate, come on. Come on.
I know.
Mate, come on. Hopefully we can cheer
you
up.
Think a silly season. Think a silly season, mate.
Mate, we're just here to entertain the nation.
There's no more lash to be had in Infernos.
Mate,
people are 2021.
People are relying on you staying strong and bringing them through this. Come on.
Okay. Oh, well,
I'll tell you what's going to cheer you up.
What?
We've got one of the most incredible people, I think, ever lined up. We're about to talk to him. Mr. Paul Alima, the Black Zeus.
Mate.
He's nearly got his
name. He's a good guy. That's kind of what I need right now. I need to talk to a fellow rig and have some seriously good C.H.A.T chat.
Should we get him on?
Yeah, let's get him on.
What are you getting on, all right?
Ah, there he is. Finally, we meet. How are you, mate?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm delighted to be on your show.
Oh, mate, it's our honour. We're honoured just to have someone
with making point out here. Do you know,
with someone with such a fantastic rig, we had to get you on the Rig Biz.
Mate, of course, it's an honour to be here, man. It's an honour to be here.
Oh, mate, it's unbelievable. We're very excited. We cannot wait to have some banter, some chanter, all of it.
That's it, mate. I'm all over it, man. I'm all over it. Where do we start? Are you drinking? Do you have a pint in your hand, or is it not that time?
Mate, it's Wednesday night. You know me. It's I'm only drinking Friday and Saturday. You know.
Okay. Yeah,
chassis, it comes first. You know that.
Okay, I get you. You got to make the money Monday, Thursday, Friday.
Sure.
You can let
sure. I don't. You know. One sip is a moment on the hips. And so, but I was very jealous that you were at the ship on Sunday. What a place.
Mate, it was fucking brilliant as well. And look, I better not talk because I'll have the place shut down. But it was awesome. It was like the golden days of the ship. I thought I'd never get that feeling again, but I did. And I've booked it again for this Friday.
Mate,
to get that table down.
I think this year it could be the equivalent of Winter Wonderland, the ship.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a good analogy. I like it. Yeah.
So, Paul Alima, aka the Black Zeus, welcome on the Rig Biz podcast, sir.
You having me.
Are a fitness model, influencer, personal trainer, celebrity body double, and both an ex-professional footballer and rugby player.
Jesus
which
Christ,
we will.
You're making me sound like a right. Fair.
Has he? Wait, Freddie. Has he? Leems, have you got this on your LinkedIn profile? I suggest if not, Freddie can send this to you afterwards, and you could put it on there.
Mate, I haven't updated my LinkedIn in a while, so I'm struggling
You really should. It's a great place to do deals. And, mate, with my help, we can get you some seriously good connections. You connect with me, mate, and I'm telling you, half the city will come calling.
Right, cool. I got to sort the LinkedIn out, man.
I'll seek you out tomorrow, and then let's arrange a little luncheon at the Ned.
Yeah, I'm all over it, man. I'm all over it.
Paul, we're going to delve into your incredible career in a second. But firstly, how does it feel to wake up every morning and stare at that incredible rig in the mirror?
I fucking love you guys. You know what? It's hard work. You just don't get this from not hard work. So I put in the grind. So when I do see it in the mirror, I look at myself and I'm like, you deserve that shit.
Well, mate,
hold on, Freddie. Why have you never asked me that question? I've got a similar rig.
Well, is it right if I call you Black Zeus? Is that okay?
Oh, mate, look, you can say what you want.
I read recently that you have to eat 200 grams of protein a day to maintain the rig.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
It's for Paul. What does the average day in the Black Zeus's life incorporate to be able to maintain that intake?
So basically, I have 5 meals in the day. I wake up, have a protein shake. We'll start off 25 grams of protein. And then I'll have meal one, which will be just me cereal or whatever. Meal two will be maybe a protein. Well, not meal two. I have a second breakfast. It's great because my life is on Instagram. I can work from home. So I have a second breakfast. After my second breakfast on my way to the gym, I might have a protein bar. That's another 20 grams of protein. I'll do my workout straight after I finish my workout. I'll have another protein shake, which will get me up again. Then I'll have some food, which will have around 25 grams of protein in it. And then I'll have my dinner. So I have around 5 meals with 2 proteins. Without the protein shake, so I don't know if I'd be able to maintain it.
No, that's quite similar to me because I'll wake up, I have my egg whites, I have my boiled chicken. And then second breakfast for me, just after my first meeting of the day, I'll have boiled chicken flavored oats. And then I'll be followed that. I'm actually off the I'm off the protein bars at the moment. I'm just taking on pure salmon skin. It's great protein and great for the skin. And then similar routine to Leems then afterwards. So quite similar actually.
Sorry, pal. It's perfect. I haven't had to deal with protein chat in a while, but
well, Paul, life is slowly with
protein banter. Is actually I've got to say it's some of my favorite banter.
Paul, life is slowly returning back to normal, but what was lockdown like for you and the family?
Pro-anter. We'll call it pro-anter.
Oh, I like it. That has a ring to it. I fucking like it.
How did you stay...
Pranter. Anyway.
Pranter. Okay, let's copyright it. It will go along chanter, city banter.
Anybody says it, we fucking take them to court. Anyway, go for it.
During lockdown, obviously it was a crazy time for all of us, but how did you stay sane? What were your releases? And, you know, how was the whole experience for you?
do you know what? During lockdown was grand for me. There was loads of these shit home workouts going on, so I had the joy of buying wigs and buying clothes and just basically copying people online. And yeah, so I was just making loads of stupid videos in the house. So every day, there was a new stupid video that I could make. So that kind of got me through the start of the day. So it wasn't too bad for me. Like, you know what I mean? I like my own company. So it wasn't as bad as other people's, let me tell you, like when they were stuck with their girlfriends or wives and stuff.
Yeah, it's so similar. Again, like we're a lot of people sometimes mistaken me for you, just because I think also I like my own company as well. What I did is I installed a lot of mirrors around my house so that I could just see myself. And also it was more like practicing my banter when I came out. I sort of see myself and be, hey mate, how you doing? Have you had your protein? And it kind of worked around like that way. But yeah. Fred, I feel like you've never asked me any of these questions. You seem very excited to talk to Paul, but well, mate, these are key questions that the followers would like to know about me.
We're with an elite athlete here, mate, you know, not you. Paul, you now live in London, sir, I believe, and I'm hoping Clapham, but you grew...
I live in Putney. So is that all right? Or it's a bit...
mate.
Next thing you're going to say, you're an ex hockey pro.
Oh, man. Leams, listen, I'm CEO of Clapham. I'm bringing you over. You've got to get away from the Fez Club. You've got to get away from the river. You've got to get away from the hockey boys. There's basically one of the rugby players I play with lives in Putney, and we call him No Chat Pat. I'm telling you, you need to get out.
So what happens, as soon as you leave Clapham, you just leave. You know what? I love Clapham. I love going to Clapham. But then after that, I have to get out because there's too much going on. Like, there's too much, like, people on the street and shit. And I like my quiet. That's why I go to Clapham. I absolutely get shit-faced. And then I leave. Number 32, somewhere like that. Lovely place.
Number 32, the net of Clapham, sure.
Yeah, that's the one, man. It's perfect. Perfect place for a beer.
Obviously, you didn't grow up, as we can tell from your accent, in England. You grew up in the North Dublin suburb of Clonsilla. Is that how you pronounce it?
Clonsilla. So it's beside Blanchardstown. So, yeah, I grew up in Clonsilla, lived there until I was 19, and then I moved to England to play football, which I was pretty shit at.
Well, we are going to come on to that, but firstly, your first love, I believe.
By the way, just to let you know, Leams, this is very much like, what's the thing? It's like a Piers Morgan. This is your life,
yeah.
We've got all your details. We've got your shoe size, your height, your weight. Don't you worry. Be prepared.
He just said Clonsilla, and like that's weird. Like you said it wrong, but it's Clonsilla. Well done, though.
We've done our research. We've also, we've had Smithy on the pod as well. Your good friend James Smith, a very close friend of mine. So we've got details. We've got notes. Don't you worry. Be prepared.
Obviously, growing up in Clonsilla, what are your overriding memories of your childhood there, for good and for bad? I know you sort of fell in love with rugby, and we're about to come to that. But quickly, your childhood memories.
I was fighting all the time. I think I was the black fella in a place where there was nobody that was black. I didn't like see another black person until I was around 15. So it was a little bit like, what the fuck is going on? But I was really good at sports. So like everybody knocked for me to play football. I was like the football kid. I'll always have a football in my arm and everybody played football. But then it was just football and fighting, really. That's my childhood.
What was it like being one of the only black guys in the suburb then? Did you encounter racism in those parts?
So the thing is, all my mates were fairly rough lads and that loved fighting. So when I was in Clonsilla or the Blanchardstown area where I'm from, Blanche, nobody really say anything. It's only when I went to a different area that they've never seen me before. So basically, I put my stamp on where I lived, you know what I mean? He's the football lad, he hangs around with these boys or whatever. But then when I leave the area and me and the lads would go somewhere else, somebody might not know and they might try and say something, but then me and the boys would be swinging. So it was just fighting and football. That was it, really.
I mean, mine was slightly similar as well. And sorry, I hanged around with the ski crew. But I remember I went to another county once, and this guy Mundo, his name went Edmund. I remember correctly, and he didn't know I hanged with the ski crew. And then it came to fisticuffs. But I was known as the rugby guy. So
got pretty rough.
Yeah.
Talking about rugby, you started playing rugby at school alongside current Ireland international Devon Toner. What your memories of falling in love with the game and also playing alongside a future Ireland international in Devon?
Yeah. It was great. So when I went to the school, it was like I just wanted to play football in school, but I went to a good rugby playing school, where people with high basic salaries. As you do. So after I went there for the last 3 years of my secondary level school, and I was playing rugby, and it was really easy to run past people, or do you know what I mean? It was just easy to kind of fuck people up. So I was like, oh my God, this is a great sport. You just get it and run, and there's, do you know what I mean? It's just more athletic.
Sure.
Where that's what I kind of was. But then on Saturday, so that was during school time, which was Monday to Friday. But on Saturdays, I was playing football for a team called Shamrock Rovers, who are like in the Premier League, in the Premier Irish League, as you could say. And then it just got to a stage where I went to college, and I was like, man, what am I doing? I was meant to be a footballer. And then I got offered a trial for West Ham. So I was like, fuck this shit. I'm not playing rugby at a high level. I'm just going to go and try and be a footballer. So I moved over and tried to give that a go.
Well, yeah. So, you know, the research I did showed that at 16, you were offered a move to Shamrock Rovers under 16s. And for those who don't know, the listeners who don't know, that's sort of, they're the most successful club in Ireland's history, I believe. Essentially, the Man United of Ireland. But it wasn't long before...
The Clapham Falcons.
Oh, the Clapham Falcons. Yeah. And it wasn't long before you were offered a trial by West Ham. Can you tell us, you know, you've touched on it there briefly, of your memories of how that came about and what ended up happening with the Hammers? Because that seemed to sort of act as a catalyst for a crazy couple of years in your life.
Yeah, fucking rotten couple of years. Yeah, so I had an agent and he brought me over, and I had a trial game, and I was and I wasn't good enough, I'm not gonna lie. I could see the boys around me, like they're all like prem standard, you know, kids with amazing touch and shit. So I was like, oh, I'm not this good. So then while I was there, my agent said Scunthorpe United like the look of you.
Oh dear.
Yes,
I don't even know where that is.
I went to Scunthorpe. I know, man. I went to Scunthorpe. But the thing about football is you need to be match fit. You can't just be running fit. And I was in training with him for around 4 weeks, and I was smashing it. Billy Sharp, he plays for Sheffield United now. He was the main striker. And Andy Keogh, he was an Irish international. I remember the two of them that were there. And I was like keeping up. I was like, man, I signed. Like the manager was... Brian Laws, who's like a really good manager, and I was like, I've signed for this club. And then we played against Sheffield United in a match. Wow. And I'd say after around 15 minutes, my arse, I was blowing. I needed to be taken match fit and running fit are two different things. And anyway, I was blowing. Half time, I got taken off, and then the management were like, "Well, we like you, but you're not quite fit enough. So you might need to go and get some games, some match fitness, and come back,
or do some CrossFit."
Yeah, that's it, man. Something like that. But so I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. And then my agent, who was kind of liked me at the time, was like, Bristol Rovers. Bristol Rovers have you. Bristol Rovers want to see you, because maybe I think word gets around when you do little bits. So I think maybe when I was doing the West Ham bits or the Scunthorpe training bits, word must. And Bristol Rovers said, come down to Bristol. And then they said that they were going to put me into a team called Taunton Town. So I'm traveling from fucking London to Scunthorpe, and now I'm down in Bristol. But then in Bristol, I'm traveling to Taunton, which is bleeding near Yeovil or Somerset or something like that. And I'm living in a house in Bristol, and I'm traveling to Taunton to get match fitness, and I'm waiting for Bristol Rovers to give me a call. It was an absolute nightmare. And I ended up staying down there for around a year and a half. And then Dagenham and Redbridge. Yeah, and here we go again. Dagenham and Redbridge, a team in League Two. They were like, here, fucking come down here. So I was like, fuck Bristol, I'm going to Bleeding Dagenham. I'm going back to London, to where a few of my brothers live there, and I know people there. I was like, I'm not traveling this. It's a lonely life when you're trying to
I can imagine,
a footballer and you're pretty shit at it. Like,
yeah. So having gone from the Premiership
to put it in context, I know how Leams feels, because early days of my sort of time in the city, I spent a lot of time traveling to Hong Kong, Singapore, and it's a lonely place to be. And you're cutting your teeth. I mean, Liam's is cutting his teeth in football, granted. And yeah. I was cutting my teeth with high basic salary earners that, you know, and you know, the lunches and the dinners, they were rich, and that's tough on the rig. So again, very similar.
It is. You ruin your rig when you're traveling so much, man. You don't give that time that your body actually needs to pump that iron, bro.
So, Paul, having gone from the Premiership to the 7th Division of football, you decided to chance your arm once more with rugby, and your brother Martin, a former player, managed to wangle you an international sevens cap for Nigeria. Can you take us through the story behind that and your memories of the tournament and then the experience thereafter?
Yeah, I was living in Teddington at that time when I was playing football, and I'm like, this is going nowhere. I started playing for like semi-pro football just to pick up like money at the end of the month and stuff. And then I became a personal trainer after football. While I was going semi-pro, I was like, look, I'm a semi-pro. I'm not a pro, but so I could play in the conference. So I was picking up that. And then I was watching the rugby on the TV, and I was watching lads like in school that I used to play against. And like, there's lads that are internationals and all. And I was like, did I play? Am I better than, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah. I do that a lot. Look, with Owen Farrell, George Ford, I think, fucking hell, yeah. you guys have got shit haircuts and no chat. Get me in there, Jonesy.
That's it. And then one of my mates is, my manager at Dagenham and Redbridge was a fella called Rob Garvey. His son's name is Matt Garvey. He plays for Bath. And
now Gloucester.
Govs.
We know Govs a little bit. Another fan of the pod, fan of the Instagram.
Yeah, that's the man. But I remember I was in a house and Gareth went, man, you're like, I was like, I think I'm gonna play rugby. And Gareth laughed at me. He's like, you can't play rugby. And I was like, fuck that guy, I'm gonna do it. So I went. The first one was my brother Martin was like, here, let's play some, like, you can Nigeria sevens, you're quick. So my first time, I like basically catch the ball and run, Paul. My positioning was all over the place. But when I did play for Nigeria sevens, a team called Isha Rugby Club were there. And Isha I think they got relegated from the championship to National One. I was there for 3 years. And then one day, you know, Quins do A-League and stuff like that. And Quinn's asked me to play some A-League matches for them. And I was like, yeah, lovely, man. I'm all over that. Just to play and, do you know what I mean?
In the jersey, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, in the jersey. So I played against Saracens and I was playing against Maro Itoje. And I was like, for fuck's sake, like, Matt Garvey, you little prick. You know what I mean? I was like, fucking, I was buzzing. So that was like, I think that was when I was like, you know what, rugby's great. And I've done... Even though it's only A-League, it's not Premiership. But
what position were you, Leeds?
I was a winger, man. Just get it and run. And people couldn't catch me or stop me, really. It'd take two. I always made sure it'd take at least two people. So that's it. All I could do, my fucking position and defending was awful.
Yeah.
Under the high ball, Jesus, it took me around 2 years to start catching it. Like, you know what I mean? I thought I was just going to start playing rugby and I was going to be a Premiership star. But then, like, we had, who was our coach? Tom Williams, that was it. And he was playing for Quinn. He played for Quinn's for years, 12 years or something. But I remember he started being the coach of Isha, and his hands, do you know, like when you just see somebody just with amazing hands, and I was like, okay. So that's why, because I'd look at somebody like that on the TV and I was like, why is he there and I'm not fucking playing Premiership, but they're positioning and... There's so much shit, like being on the shoulder of players. Like, all I thought was get the ball and fucking get people to stand up in the crowd by, you know, being trying to run over somebody. But they're all so much smarter than me and stuff like that. But
the thing is, being under the high ball is a key when you're, you know, wing fullback. Actually, we had a good guy in our squad a couple of years ago, a guy called Butterfingers. he was great under the ball. We called him Butterfingers just because of an incident that happened on tour, which involved butter and nakedness. I don't want to go into it too much. But again, Butterfingers, big shout out, mate. Hope you're doing well. He's actually in Singapore doing shipping now. So Butterfingers, hopefully to catch you in the city season Christmas time. See you, mate.
Mate, love that. I love that. But yeah, man. Yeah, that's
Do you miss it?
I ended up after my last year with Easter, there's a team called Old Eltonians, and they were coming up from National 2, and they had so much money, like loads of money. So they were trying to sign. They were like mercenaries. They're probably not going to like it when they hear. But they were just signing players from like leagues above, championship players and stuff. So I ended up signing with them, and I tore my tricep after around 2 months with them, and it never healed properly, so I had to stop playing rugby. But I miss it every day. I don't miss football at all, but rugby, like going out to war with a bunch of lads.
Yeah, in Infernos.
And then going to Infernos after and getting sloppy. Like, there's fucking nothing. Like, you've after going to war, then you have your drinks in the bar, and then you fucking go to Infernos, and you just get bladdered. There's nothing better. Well, I miss Saturdays.
There's an offer here. We obviously had Smithy on the podcast, and he's coming back in October, and he's coming to play a game for the Clapham Falcons. And what I'm thinking is, you just come back, play 10 minutes, we play a game, get into the bar, do a bum funnel, do a shitload of grenade, obviously the powder, and then we head out and enjoy Infernos for all it is to be.
Mate, I'm all over it, man. Infernos needs to be hit up again. I haven't smashed that in a while. It's number 32 at home, but Infernos... Is it open, though, with all this going on?
It's not open, but I'm in talks with them at the moment, as CEO of Clapham. I've decided if you go in the common these days, a lot of people are not adhering to it, mainly because we're all fit and healthy. And, you know, money needs to be spent, and it needs to be spent well in a place that smells of sweat and a place that, you know, that enjoys someone topless. And I've got to say, Leams, you, me and Smithy, topless, We'd get the crowd in. Maybe we'd take 10% of ticket sales, I don't know.
Yeah, you just stand out front.
Well, mate, Archie, I do have some better news in these dark times to hopefully raise spirits.
Yeah,
Manscapes
that?
Are still on board.
Yeah,
so
that
apparently
cash does help.
Incredible performance. We've been doing really well, so guys, keep on buying the stuff.
Darren Goff used our code.
Darren Goff, international cricketer, and now the biggest radio host on the biggest radio show in the world.
Yeah.
Is using our bloody discount code.
And the funny thing is that he's using our code to manscape his balls to get them just right.
Yeah. Ball tampering.
Because he plays cricket.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it?
That's just quite good banter.
It really is great.
But yeah, I guess in a way, on the bright side, you know, after the sort of semi-lockdown and after the 10 p.m. curfew, I can go back and really get to grips with my balls.
You've got hours to play with them. Well, you know, well, by play with them, I mean...
Are you using it?
Mate, I'm not just using it. I'm using the ball turner and the Dio. And the girl I've been seeing is absolutely...
Mate, get them out.
Get what? The kit?
Let's have a look.
What, my balls?
Yeah.
Mate, I'm not going to get my bloody balls out. That's ridiculous.
Well, that really sums up why you'd never make it in the rugby world. But anyway, what code can they use?
Well, guys...
Guys, you better be bloody buying these.
Yeah.
They're not free.
No, they're not at all. But they actually do
and
come...
And you're not going to have... that. You're going to have extra money because you won't be lashing it up.
True. You've got a lot more money. Be so money. Hashtag be so money. Get your bloody balls out. Get them trimmed. I mean, you don't want to be found. A lot of people now are going to be spending a lot more time with girls indoors.
Yeah, and actually, you'll be probably getting your balls out a lot more on like a computer screen or your phone when you're FaceTiming, because that's how people date these days.
Well, everyone's working from home
and
again.
Really,
a lot more breaks.
Really important that they look good on camera.
So, guys,
my balls look way different on camera than they do in real life.
Well, you've got to start using more toner.
I've actually been using tanning products.
You've been tanning your balls?
Yeah. It really does help.
Well, okay. Well, guys, if you want to get involved, all you have to do is go to uk.manscaped.com, and any product on there you can buy with the RigBiz 20% discount with RigBiz 20. Just put that in at checkout. You'll also get free delivery. Yeah, that's right. We're changing the way men manscape. Find the extra inch and treat yourself and the ladies in your life. Sadly, your rugby career came to an end due to injuries you just alluded to there. But having acquired your personal training qualification and started to train some clients, you then fell into a sort of somewhat crazy career path where you became a body double for three of the most famous sportsmen in the world. In Italian footballer Mario Balotelli, the fastest man in the world, Mr. Usain Bolt, and latterly Anthony Joshua, I believe. How does one go about becoming a body double, and what kind of work does that consist of, and what's it like? Do you become mates with them all?
Yeah. No, well, Balotelli would be one of my best mates now, but the other lads, I was their body doubles. What happened was there's a company called Sports on Screen, and they do choreography work, which I still do. Like, I've just done adverts with England Rugby.
Yeah, we're going to come to that. The Umbro thing, mate, is not good.
Yeah. I'll wait. But so there's something called sports choreography, and I was a part of this company called Sports on Screen as one of their models. And what they do is... they get body doubles. So when Sergio Aguero has an advert or Lionel Messi, one of my mates, Isa, will travel all around the world with them, wherever they are, and he'll do the stand-in. So they'll get the lighting from him. Because you might have, let's put it this way, Ronaldo, his contract with Herbalife, I think it was like $4 million for 4 hours, right?
Yeah.
So they will do it you have 19 minutes with Cristiano. He'll come on set. In 19 minutes, he's leaving. So what they'll do is they'll get his body double, which one of the lads that I know, and he will spend maybe 2 days doing a pre-light. So they'll get all the correct lighting off him, stand him in different positions, put all the clothes on him. Then when Cristiano comes in, he steps in and your man fucks off. But they already know exactly the angles they need because they tested it on the other person. So with me, with Mario first, I am 6'3". Mario was 89 kilos, I remember that, and I was 93 at the time. So they were like, all right, Paul, can you stand in as a body double for Mario? But I'll tell you, I was like, grand, where do I go? I went to Manchester because he was playing for Manchester City and he was sponsored by Nike at the time. And what they did is they made me run upstairs, wear all the clothes, do whatever, do some of the ads, some of the advert. And then Mario came in for around 4 hours and then left. And he done the exact same thing as I did. But like, even in my first ad, you can see loads of clips where it's just me. It's me on the screen. Do you know what I mean? And then the ones where it's Mario's face, it'll be his face. But then as time's gone on now, it went from Mario, I was doing him all the time, every time they done a shoot. And then I got on really well with him because he's kind of like myself, you know, like he's up for a laugh. Like, you know, we slag him.
Let's get him to Infernos.
Yeah, yeah, that's the goal.
Fred, write that down. Write that down. Yeah. Write that down.
Get Fala to Infernos. You know what? He'd have the fucking crack as well. That's the thing. Like, he's a gent. Like, you don't understand. He's a legend. Like, and then from there, so then he moved to Puma. And when he moved to Puma, I went, so I was his double, so Puma started ringing me. Then I started getting on with all the Puma staff, and one day Usain Bolt's double is from Jamaica, and they were like, we're not flying him to France. Paul, can you come to France with us? Because I've only after finishing with Mario. I was like, yeah, grand. So then I was Bolt's double, and then with Bolt, I'd stand in and I'd do the run, and then when Bolt comes onto set, I act as the choreographer, so I tell him what to do, what movements to do and stuff like that, and then he does them. But like, he's amazing. So then I was getting too big because I was playing rugby, I think, at this stage, and I was trying to put on a bit of size so I could run over people. So I couldn't be Mario anymore because they used to have to Photoshop loads of photos because I was like filling out all the t-shirts a bit too much because footballers aren't as big as rugby players, you know yourself, Rick.
Yeah. I mean, I do quite similar work for Danny Cipriani and Manu Tuilagi, but look, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about you. Carry on.
Yeah. But yeah, so then that was that. With them two lads, I was doing Usain, and that was fucking brilliant, Gatorade and Puma. And then I think I got a bit too big again because I'm like, I stopped playing rugby and my goal is just to like lift heavy shit and just get big. So
me too.
Yeah, you know how it goes, bro. You know how it goes.
So lift heavy stuff and have a heavy basic salary.
Exactly, man. Exactly. That's all you need in this life. Fuck the rest of it. But yeah, so after I've done that, I started getting bigger and bigger, and then I get a call to be Anthony Joshua's, and then I've done Joshua's 6 or 7 times, and he's a
good guy.
Yeah, he's a fucking gentleman. Like, he'll come on to set, say hello to everybody from the fucking cleaner out the front. Do you know what I mean? Like, and then when he leaves, he does the exact same thing. He's a fucking, you know, when you want somebody to win and you know, when somebody's a correct superstar, he is like, and with takes, like, let's say with Mario, when I was doing takes with Mario, he would be like, all right, just get Paul to do it. Do you know what I mean? Because he's not Paul. But with Joshua, he blocks out, like, I think he blocks out like 4 to 6 weeks where it's just media. So, and he's such a professional, like, he's there and he'll keep on doing, like, he'll go, did you like that take? And the director will say yes, no, and he'll do it again. Yeah. You know, like, he wants to get it right. So, but he's an absolute, he's a professional.
I've always thought me and him would get on really well. I don't know why. I just think he'd think this guy is a good guy, and there's a lot of opportunities.
We have
him.
So much in common, like.
Very similar. Very similar people. Very humble. And the nice thing is, I doubt he's ever been to Rock in Cornwall, so I'd love to take him down there.
Mate, I see that. You're going to buy that little rock on the rock in Cornwall, was it? That was brilliant.
Paul, just finishing a Balotelli, because obviously you're just alluding to the fact that you've become great mates with him. He's a pretty loose character, like a wonderful entertainer. Can you tell us of your best night out with him? Have you been out in the town with him? Have you had some good laughs?
Yeah, a couple of times. It's just, I just think he's a laugh. I can't explain it. Like, you go to a place, right, and he'll pay for everybody's food and And do you know what I mean? And not just our table, the whole fucking place. Do you know what I mean? Just little gestures of loveliness. But he won't tell anyone. He'll just do it and leave. Do you know what I'm trying to say? He's just, I can't explain.
No, it's my dream. And I've got to say, you know, coronavirus has kind of ruined my big bonus this year. But maybe next year, Christmas time, love to go to number 32 and just say,
that's
guys.
Everybody's been free all night,
yeah,
man.
It's on me. Whispering Angel. And premium lager. Enjoy. But then I would kind of want them all to say, like, thank you so much. And they didn't, then they would be out. They'd be slung out.
This is it. So, but that's it. It's about with him. I know it's about getting no credit for it. He does so much. Like, even charity-wise, like, people might say shit, but, like, 50% of his wages since Man City have gone to, like, favelas in Brazil and kids and, you know, like, he's an absolute legend, and people don't know this stuff because he doesn't say nothing. Do you know what I mean? He's an absolute legend.
Paul, you've also got your own IMDb page, which means you are essentially an actor. You've been in some big Hollywood... Yeah, you've been in some big Hollywood movies such as The Legend of Tarzan and Justice League. What's it like working in the movies, and what was Margot Robbie like during the rap party?
Right, yeah, fucking hell. They're a bit mad because there's parts where I'd be like with better people or stuff like that, but it's the extras, like extras they be talking about movies where they bleed and had a fucking stormtrooper. Like some of them are in the, I'm not going to lie, I'd never do it again. Unless, like, you know, you got a great role in the film, but Jesus, when you're stuck with extras and they're talking about when there were stormtroopers and fucking Star Wars wearing a fucking hat saying that.
Yeah, no, mate, you'd have to say, listen, guys, your banter is fucking shit. Do you mind removing yourself and going to Putney and hanging out with the hockey boys? Paul, I don't know if you know, but obviously we had Jeremy Irvine on the podcast. Hollywood A-list was the lead of Warhorse, and we're writing a film, like a Christmas film, hopefully it'll come out next year. Very similar to Notting Hill. It's going to be called Clapham Junction. And look, I'm chief producer, and I'm hoping to be director. So there'll definitely be a role for you there.
My man, I'm all over it.
You might have to play the villain just because you live in Putney. But if you know, between now and then, if you move to Clapham, that's fine.
No butter at all, man. No butter at all. Cool. All over.
In January 2016, you achieved something quite incredible, whereby 27 girls left their lights on in a flawless performance when you appeared on Take Me Out. How did you end up on the show, and what was it really like on the Isle of Fernandez?
Oh, man. My mate Dan Booker, he's a producer of Love Island. So he puts people in Love Island. He does. He was doing Take Me Out at the time, and he got me on the show. Like, I thought, just for a laugh, I got the rugby boys involved. I got them down to Esher Rugby Club, which was great. We were all naked showing them, you know, in the showers, all the lads, you know, how it goes.
But anyway, Butterfingers would love that.
Yeah, I'd say so, man. I'd say so. But yeah, it was great crack. Like, and then, I went on the show. And then, I was like, lovely. The first time 30 lights left on, I was like, lovely 30 lights. And then the fucking three girls that ruined me fucking clean house there at the end, I was fuming. it was good crack it was. The studio day, outstanding. And then, going out to Tenerife, was it? It is Tenerife, yeah. But yeah, that was good crack as well. But the thing is, my date, I think she was looking for a date where you travel out with the four lads that were on the show as well. So I just wanted to get lashed out of it. So I was on the beers. I was on the beers from the start to the finish. So I don't think they were too happy with me when I went to Brandon.
It's great. We should get that guy. I'll connect with that guy, Tom Brooker, because Love Island is where I want to take myself next.
Right.
Yeah.
But that what would you be like? Because everybody would want you.
Well,
you
know, Liz, that's the problem. But I would, you know, quickly I'd come in. I'd probably be different. Instead of coming out just topless, I'd just probably wear full rugby kit. Gum shield.
A watch.
Obviously, mate, a watch. You can tell a lot about people. And the first thing I actually check out someone is a watch. And then I would just, you know, I'd tell the ladies. I'd say, look, guys, if you get with me, you know, you don't just get with me. You get with my dad and his estate. And I think, you know, they'd be keen. My dad would, back in the day, my dad would have been very good at Take Me Out. Well, actually, his marriages have been a little bit like that. He's gone through quite a lot of women. So, I think that it definitely could be. Is it still on TV?
What, Take Me Out?
Yeah.
Not Sure, I think they do. I think they are doing UC. Well, I don't know when they will again, but I think it's still going. Yeah, it's still going strong.
I can see you in a presenting role there. I know that's an ambition of yours to get on the screen, which we'll get to shortly. Yeah. But before we do that, I'm afraid it's going to
Freddie, it's quite creepy how much you know about Leams.
I know.
Wonderful.
For a good thing, it's a bit worrying now he knows where you live.
Well, sadly, the pace and the atmosphere of the podcast is going to have to take a negative turn because you recently helped launch the recent Umbro England rugby kit. Is that the most insulting work you've ever had to do? Firstly, being Irish, but secondly, endorsing a rugby kit made by Umbro.
Oh, yeah, I don't get into that too much. But
speak for you, Paul, and say I know you won't say it, but look, I just want to say Umbro have broken the dreams of middle and upper class England, the Twickenham faithful. Okay, when I think of Umbro, I think of people with leg tattoos drinking Wetherspoons with long shorts over their knees. Okay, Paul, you don't have to say anything, but look, as CEO Clapham, I can't endorse Umbro as the new rugby kit sponsor. They should have gone for Barber.
Fucking Barber. Rolex.
Rolex would have been great. Ferrari. Even just get a region to sponsor it. Val d'Isère. Just get them to sponsor it.
Mate, fucking hell.
But it did actually look good, written on the logo, but it would have no sleeves.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
But Paul, I saw on Instagram, it did look quite good fun. There was young Z was there, good boy. Unfortunately, yeah, very boring haircut as well.
Yeah, wonderful. He was there, mate. The thing is, I do choreography for football and rugby. And I did the Premiership. So when the Premiership was coming back, I had like a player, the star player of every team from the Premiership. So the London Eye, like whoever, do you know what I mean, would come down. Like, and every time I do stuff with the rugby lads, it's a dream. Football lads, it's good, but it's harder work because the rugby lads are ready to hurt themselves for you. Do you know what I mean? For the take.
Yeah.
But with the rugby lads, again, like England rugby, and they were just absolute, every single one of them, absolute gentlemen. Like I go, can you do, like, because I played rugby, I kind of know the movements and how it would look. I think that's why they get me in. So it looks, everything looks real. And they were a dream. Owen Farrell, fucking solid as a rock. I tell you who was amazing. That Tom Curry and Sam Underhill, I tell you, Jared, the brotherhood. I'm not even going to lie. It's like them, they were just playing around the whole time on set and you could just see them two would absolutely die for each other. So that's a great combination.
It's a bit of a sore subject with Cuzza. Again, another follower of the Instagram and Underhill. But Cuzza was meant to come on the podcast, gave us the initial yes, and then has said that he wants to finish the season. So Cuzza, if you're listening... Even Leams is doing it, and he's got 10 times the followers you've got.
No. Yeah, but fucking hell, he's some crack.
No, he's a good guy. He's a good lad.
He was walking around.
Unfortunate way he cuts his hair. But again, he's got a supermodel girlfriend. He's got a supermodel girlfriend.
That's all that matters, man.
You were saying it was quite hard.
Girlfriend, high basic salary, man. You're winning.
You were saying it was quite hard to get on with the foreign footballers, probably because they don't speak English as their mother tongue. But was it even more difficult to try and have a conversation with Owen Farrell?
No. He was fucking brilliant. This is what I mean. Like, as the captain of the team, he was solid. Everything I said, he was like fucking on it. Like, when it comes to footballers, I do loads of stuff. Well, I did stuff with Arsenal, probably never again. But it's different. Like, the Arsenal lads are like, you know, they'll do it, but, you know, they're like, they know they're needed. Whereas the rugby players are needed as well. But these boys are just on it. Like, you know, you're like, can you do this? And they don't give you no shit. They come with loads of energy and they get it done. So it's brilliant. Tell me about skiing. That's one holiday. I go on holidays. I love a holiday. Well, I've never went on a skiing one because it's like, it's cold, but I hear.
It's pretty magical. I've got to say, there's rarely a place you can go where you hit someone, they fall over, and they turn out that they're the CEO of a business you've been business developing. And it's kind of like, it's like Ibiza on ice, really. That's the way to describe it.
They got the music going.
Listen, Leams, when I'm next going on my skiing holiday, I'll link you up. You can come and you can enjoy it.
I'm all over
You honestly don't need to be good at skiing. You just need to have good chat, good rig, and then you just park your skis up, take your top off, and dance the house music. and spray a lot of Champers, a lot of Bollinger, a lot of Bollinger.
I'm ready to spray the Bollinger, man. Not a bother to me.
And you know, the best thing is you'll meet Butterfingers because he comes to the annual school ski school.
I'm really intrigued about who this Butterfingers is. Please,
Ask Cheesy. He'll know.
All right, I will do.
Mate, you've been absolutely fantastic. Normally, we've started a new sort of thing where we ask guests to tell people to fuck back off to Putney, but that doesn't seem right with you, seeing as you live there. So we won't ask you on this occasion.
But thank you so much coming on.
Black Zeus, you're a genius.
Mate, keep doing what you're doing.
You as well, man.
See you on the ship on Friday.
I'm ship Friday, 7:30. Get there.
Well, Archie, that must have cheered you up. I mean, what an absolute hero.
It has. What a man. And now a really good friend. Another person to put on my Hinge profile as friends with.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm not sure if you're friends, but he's a lovely, lovely guy. Brilliant stories. I mean, you don't often find someone who's had like five careers before they're 30 and been successful.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to having a bit of lash at the ship with him. I think me and him will carve it up.
Ugh, what an absolute legend. Pre 10 p.m, obviously.
That's the problem. Like, me and Leems, you know, we are animals after the 10 p.m. You know, that's when we come alive.
Yeah, you're sort of not.
So I'm just going to have to lash about four hours before, you know, I used to.
You're going to have to start leaving work early.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you what, client lunches are going to get a little bit more looser.
Jesus Christ. No one wants to see that.
But, mate, it's a good pod. I think this is what people need right now. You know, they need my chat. The thing is, Freddie, a lot of people in my life have said, mate, your chat is, like, all the same. Like, do you have any other chat? And I'm like, well, no. Does Cristiano Ronaldo play a different way? I don't think so.
Yeah.
So, and that's what people enjoy.
Yeah, why would you change a winning model?
People aren't going to the doctors, Fred. Mm-hmm. They're taking a dose of my C.H.A.T. chat.
Going to the pharmacy, used to buy Lemsip, now they buy AC Limited's C.H.A.T.
chat. Yeah.
So next week, Arch, we've got an absolute legend on the show, ex-Scotland international captain, Mr. Rory Lawson. How excited?
Mate, Laws, yeah. I remember looking at back in the day thinking that he would have been a good scrum half partner. Yeah, probably got solid chat. Knows Big Jim, knows Max Evans, so I'm sure it's going to be an absolute humdinger.
International experience, but also he lived it up large in Gloucester, so you've got that kind of Cheltenham connection.
He'll probably know a lot of my old haunts. You know, that's where the chat originated.
You guys probably used to lash it up together without knowing, maybe.
Probably. And I've heard my chat's contagious, so he might have caught a bit of this, and I'm expecting good things.
Well, he had coronavirus, so let's hope he doesn't come down as hard with that.
Did he? Yeah. That's going around quite a lot.
Yeah. Well, he caught it at the beginning. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thanks,
to this
guys.
Episode.
Sorry about the beginning, but it's been tough. You know, I've got a lot on my plate. CEO of Clapham. I'm also in the city keeping the national economy.
Are you not worried about getting arrested for giving out all this advice to your followers, which is sort of going against the legal jurisdiction of this country?
Not at all.
Really?
Mate.
What, you'd serve
Clapham,
jail time to keep Clapham
in,
free?
In Clapham, my word is law.
Hashtag
you could
Clapham.
Almost call me the Jesus of Clapham.
Well, that is going far.
I've got similar hair.
Yeah, you're just a very naughty boy.
That's what a lot of the girls say.
Guys, don't forget to like, subscribe, share, and keep this fun bus
rolling.
Yeah,
can I just say, a lot of people have been getting slack on that.
They have been. They really have been.
And it's lazy.
Getting comfortable.
You know, we're giving you this for free. The least you can do is go on there and write some chat on there.
Mm-hmm. What do you want them to write? I mean,
Hashtag free Clapham.
Free Clapham. Okay. Yeah. Guys, by the way, just before we go, if you're looking for some merchandise, Rex Club have just released some incredible new So Money caps. So get on their website alongside the CCO stuff, the bucket hats. It's all up there.
Guys, if you need a hat, we've got you covered. We've got caps. We've got bucket hats.
Mm-hmm.
We've just got a lot of hats. So get on there and act accordingly and buy some stash. Stash yourself up on your lid.
Yeah, you're saving money in the commute. Put that money towards, a good cause.
Yeah, exactly.
Archie's next holiday in 2021.
I'm actually looking at a really nice tailor-made pitching wedge. So if people can put their hand in their pocket and buy a hat, that'd be very helpful. Because it's just money on the side that I'm just playing with, really.
Interior design.
Investing bits, buying golf clubs. Actually, one of my Patagonia jumpers came from the hat sales. And Fred, I promise you, at some point, if we hit the big time, I'll give you a little bit. It always drips down.
I greatly appreciate that. Archie, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate.
Yeah, it's been tough, mate. This has been a tough podcast.
Get back home safely, mate.
Yeah,
I will. Don't do anything silly.
I'm going to run home. I need to do some thinking.
and I start to cry.